Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by HelloFresh for $80 off. Yes, $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/Ghost80 and enter code Ghost80. HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. Use code Ghost80. It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019 at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, one listener shares a chronological story of a haunting that tormented their home lives. A radio personality is haunted by a ghost in the studio, and no, it's not a story from Carol or myself. And a figurine plays a song of comfort for a grieving family. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, at 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. If you really like the show, become an extra podcast person. With that, you get a bonus episode of the show exclusively for you as an EPP every single week. You can do that at ghostpodcast.com or through patreon.com/realghoststories. We'll also give you advanced access to all of our episodes weeks before they go up publicly in the normal feed. You also get a free e-copy of our Amazon best-selling book and a whole bunch of other extras as well. Ghostpodcast.com, $5 a month to sign up. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. And hey, this August, we are going to be at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. It's very close to like the Rogers Fayetteville area, if you're wondering about like where to fly into. Of course, there's Tulsa, there's Little Rock. There's a lot of places that are not all that far, a couple hours out to fly into if you're coming in from across the country. But this is going to be an awesome night. We're going to do an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks, and it's $25 ahead. So for $25 a ticket, gets you into the night. Live shows, live Q&A. It's going to be a whole hands-on meet and greet, all that's included with the ticket. So if you want to be part of that really cool night, I kind of like almost dub it like the Real Ghost Stories Online family reunion.
I like that.
Yeah, it's going to be fun because a lot of us have never met before. Obviously, the three of us have, you know, you, me, and Jen, but to our audience and all that, so many of us we've communicated over the years. It's going to be a fun night. So tickets are limited on that. They're selling quite well, and there's only a limited amount of space. So please do join us for that. Jen's, I know, going to be, well, we're planning on her making it. Keep in mind, we have children. So that's the plan. Unless something, some illness pops up. And I know we'll see if you can make it. I know it's a little ways out yet. And you got, your puppy and all that.
I have a senior dog.
Your senior puppy.
Yes. A little.
Yeah.
Not great lately. But you know, the thing about Eureka Springs and that hotel is one thing I think people would love staying in that hotel.
Yeah.
Because they do tours and you'll find that fascinating.
Yeah.
But the city itself is a very interesting, unexpected kind of place to visit.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's another place like it, but it's an old, old town. And like the downtown looks like something you'd see on like an old timey Western show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a great city. I think people would love it.
It is such a unique town. It's like a combination of so many towns that I've enjoyed over the years in like the weirdest layout ever, because it's in the Ozark Mountains. So the town is literally on the side of a cliff and the downtown winds up and down the cliff. And it's so interestingly positioned the way it's all set up. I describe it as almost like a combination between Estes Park with Mackinac Island. There's several other, like some other Michigan towns I can reference, but it's just interesting. There's so many interesting shops to go check out, and it's not like. It's not like your designer stores. These are all like independent stores.
Right.
They're up and down with everything you could imagine. And it's just the coolest town. I remember the first time I went there a couple years back and was just like, wow, this is like one of the neatest towns I've ever been in.
There's all these lakes and trails. So if you like to hike, there's places you can do that.
Yeah.
But it's just a beautiful area.
Yeah. Make a summer weekend of it. Maybe wrap up your summer. It's August 11th, right? Is that the... August 11th. So that's a Sunday night. You know, you can make a plan to come on in there Friday or Saturday or something. And, you know, stay. You know, obviously, Sunday night is our show. Make a weekend of it. The Crescent has some hotel deals. And you can find all the details of that on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com to book your stuff.
It's haunted.
And it's haunted as hell. We've had stuff happen there, too.
It is so haunted.
Yeah. So it's going to be a great time. Make it a great wrap up to your summer. Get your tickets now, though, before they sell out, because this probably will sell out. So just saying, don't want to be, you know, go, oh, let's go do that this weekend. Whoops, tickets are gone. So don't procrastinate on it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Some interesting stories today. We got one that's coming up that is actually written in by a radio person about some ghosts at their station. We'll get to that in a little bit, and I'm sure we'll have our own relatable stories to tie in. Okay, back to the stories in just a minute. First, our supporter today, HelloFresh. These guys are awesome. HelloFresh, of course, a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. And that really is how easy it is. HelloFresh, their recipes, their ingredients, everything. It is awesome. Just check out this. You can get $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, okay? $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. It's like getting your 8 meals for free, really, when it comes down to it. Let's go to HelloFresh.com/Ghost80 and enter code Ghost80. Let's talk about some of the stuff that they got on the menu at HelloFresh. And this stuff changes all the time. Every single week, there's new options for you. Figgy balsamic pork with roasted green beans and rosemary potatoes. How does that sound? Chicken sausage and spinach ricotta ravioli with tomato and lemon. That's a 20-minute meal. What's really cool about this on the website, they categorize different recipes into different things. Like, that's a 20-minute meal. Here's a calorie-smart meal. Chicken and cranberry currant pan sauce, okay, with scallion couscous and zucchini. This looks absolutely awesome, and it's low in calories, too. Smoky black bean and corn tostadas. No matter what your diet is, no matter how many people you're cooking for, they are going to have a plan for you. I love this gourmet category. Lobster ravioli and shrimp with tomatoes and tarragon cream sauce. Bacon caprese chicken with oregano, lemon, roasted potatoes, and mixed greens. Can I just read recipes? I sort of read the titles of these just for the duration of this ad, just because that's just fun and it makes me hungry. Anyway, check out HelloFresh for yourself. All this stuff comes in fresh, pre-measured ingredients, easy to follow, 6-step picture recipe cards, so you know you're doing it right, delivered right to your door each week in a special insulated box. You don't have to worry about things going bad or anything like that. It doesn't happen. It shows up fresh. See? HelloFresh. Seasonal, simple recipes, pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. All meals come together in 30 minutes max. Yes. for less than two pots and pans and require minimal cleanup. That's always helpful after you're done cooking for the family. You can make family dinners fuss-free with their easy, their picky eater, kid-tested and approved family plan recipes. So many ways to customize these boxes to what you need. So check it out for yourself. And like I said, $80 off your first month of HelloFresh. It's like getting eight meals absolutely free. So go to HelloFresh.com/Ghost80 and enter code Ghost80. $80 off your first month. HelloFresh.com/Ghost80. That's the number 80. GHOST 80. HelloFresh.com/Ghost80 and enter Ghost80. Let's go to this one. This is a chronological story that was written into us about a haunted house and really kind of a haunted life. It says, hey, enjoy your show. I've been catching up on all the earlier episodes on your YouTube channel. In episode 47, you were talking about some military bases being or feeling haunted. So I thought I'd write in to tell you about my experiences in my previous apartment. I live in an apartment complex that used to be a military base housing. It was built during World War II. The base was a victim of the wave of closures in the early 1990s. My parents and I, as their caregiver, moved into the newly civilian apartment complex in 95 and downsized to an apartment on the opposite side of the same complex in 2005. For the first 4 years at that old apartment, nothing supernatural happened, and I have no idea what, if anything, triggered the events that followed or why the ghost stayed dormant for months or years at a time. I noted these incidents in my diaries. Several things happened in 1999. Number one, my mother kept a good-sized box full of pictures in the linen closet on a middle shelf right up front. Once, when she went to look for them, they weren't there. She looked all over the closet for them, but couldn't find them anywhere. Then I had to go. I checked shelf by shelf, looking into any container bigger than a matchbox and every single item on the shelf, but it was simply not in the closet. A week or two after that, we looked in the closet for something else entirely, not even thinking about the pictures, and there was a box right up front in plain sight, just where it should have been. Number two, we had a couple of Furbies, which were very popular back then. One day, while our two Furbies were asleep in the living room, I noticed that one of them had its eyes open. A Furby does not have its eyes open unless it's awake. The only way to open its eyes while it's asleep is to lift the eyelids manually. None of us did that, but the next day, both Furbies had their eyes open. I always played with the Furbies until they went to sleep after a few minutes, and I knew that every single time their eyes had been closed upon falling asleep, which is a normal thing for Furbies to do, that had never happened before or after these 2 days in question. We never saw the Furbies opening their eyes. It's just that we looked at them at some point and noticed that they were open. A day or two after that, while I was going out to the kitchen late at night, I had the feeling of being watched, but that was probably just my imagination. Third thing happened just after Christmas. A friend of mine was over for a visit. He left a soda can still partially full, as is his habit, and he and I were about to go out somewhere. My mother asked if he was done with the soda, but he said to leave it there on a coaster on my father's coffee table. So she did. She was all on her own while we were away. When we got back, he went to get the soda, but it wasn't there. My mother never touched it. It was just gone. As always, we never have seen things disappear or reappear directly in front of us. We just noticed them after the fact. The soda can never did show up again. And two things happened in 2000. On January 17th, just before 9:17 p.m., I was walking out into the empty living room to leave a printout on my mother's coffee table. Soon after, I'd walked through my bedroom door and was in the pitch dark, very silent hallway. I heard the tiny little sound of a watch beeping. At this point, it never even occurred to me to be scared. I just thought that one of my father's many watches, about half a dozen on his coffee table, was accidentally set for alarm, and I'd go over and turn it off while I was out there. Well, no sooner did I turn on the light switch by my father's couch than at that very split second, the beeping stopped. Now, I have a very good hearing and can pinpoint sounds rather expertly. I knew it was a watch beep, and it was coming from his table. It was nothing at all like a cricket that might have stopped chirping at an approaching human. I looked at all the watches, and none of them were set to have an alarm go off. I was very unnerved and had an overwhelming feeling of being watched. After I turned off the living room light and went back to my room as fast as I could, which was probably my imagination from feeling so suddenly scared, but who knows? And then on January 19th, I always kept both my bedroom curtains closed at night. When I do open them in the daytime, if it's bright enough, I open both curtains. That morning's when I got out of bed, I went to the bathroom, to the living room, never going anywhere near the curtains. When I got back to my room 10 to 15 minutes later, the right half of the window had the curtain open while the left was still closed. The next incident, on April 10th of 2002, at lunch, my mother and I just finished dishing up food, and I was just about to take my father's meal plate into the living room. We always have three different forks laid out on the counter to pick up at last minute, and that's just how I know that they were there that day. One, two, three, all in a row. I know I put all three of them there, and my mother swore she saw all of them there as well. I went to pick up my father's fork, it just wasn't there. My mother looked, and sure enough, there were only two forks, mine and hers. We had that creepy feeling moment, then laughed it off. But we both had seen the three forks. Only two after that. I fetched an identical fork from my father and took his meal to him as my mother went to her couch, and I came back to the kitchen to take my mother's meal plate into her. There should only have been two forks on the counter, hers and mine, but there were three! My father's missing fork was back in its original place. That was an extra creepy moment. I put my father's fork back in the drawer and hurriedly left the kitchen with all my mom's plates. Then in 2004, sometimes my father, with his ornery sense of humor, would hold the bathroom doorknob slightly so that I couldn't get out. After my first attempt at turning the doorknob, I'd hear him laugh and walk away. Then I could open the door. One day in early 2004, I tried to open the doorknob and couldn't. Then I was rather surprised when I didn't hear laughter or any other sound that would indicate a person on the other side of the door. I tried the doorknob again, but it would not budge. There's no lock on the door, so no way it could have become stuck. I said something like, "Ha-ha, very funny," and tried to turn the knob again, but it still wouldn't move. For a moment, I wondered if I was going insane and had suddenly forgotten how to open a door. Then I said something like, "Okay, you got me. Can I please come out now?" I tried the knob again, and the door opened easily. There was nobody in the hallway, and my parents were still in the living room. Also in 2004... my mother smelled a really strong perfume aroma near the foot of her hospital bed, which was in the middle of the living room. She summoned me out there to see if I could smell it too, and I did, very strong and clear. I didn't recognize the scent, and I couldn't tell you now whether it was a floral or herbal scent. I think it was mildly floral. Anyway, the whole thing lasted less than a minute, very strange. In 05, I began packing to move to my current apartment. On the 15th, I'd emptied my closet, and while sorting through the boxes, I found an old battery-powered police car toy. The sort that drives itself around in hard floors with lights and sirens blaring and automatically backs up and changes direction whenever it hits an obstacle. If you've ever seen any toy that works like that, then you'll know that the motor mechanism has a very distinctive loud whirling grinding sound. It left the police car at the top of the box when I called it quits for the night. But soon after I went to bed near midnight, still awake, I started hearing the whirling grinding for a few seconds and it abruptly stopped. Thought that perhaps the car had slipped and turned itself on. I should get up and check it, though. All of a sudden, the noise cut off, and it seemed harder to explain why it started in the first place. When I got there, the car was in the same place. There was nothing on top of it or near it. When I toggled the on-off switch, nothing happened. The batteries were dead. There was no other battery-operated anything that could have accounted for that sound. Our ghost has been curious about electric or electronical things in the past, and it seems couldn't resist rummaging through all the newly unearthed treasures. Just before we moved, I asked the ghost to come with us. After all, we were part of each other's family for a decade. From all I've read and watched, I knew that people are supposed to care about inviting such things into a home, and I phrased a request as specifically as I could, such as, "Only the ghost that did X, Y, and Z are invited, only if it's a positive being. Nothing evil or negative allowed." The ghost didn't follow them, and I kind of miss it, especially now that my parents have passed and I'm alone. Once in a while, I'll drive the long way out of the apartment complex to pass by the old home and send the ghost mental greetings and hope that it's happy with the current tenants. Looking back now, I still can't decide if the ghost was an adult or a child. It'd be logical for a child ghost to play with toys like Furbies in a police car and perhaps hide things like the photos or a fork. On the other hand, an adult ghost, if it had been in the house for enough decades, would be curious about any new technology it saw for the first time, like the toys or a beeping watch. Also, an adult ghost would be more likely to have an interest in photos or do housekeeping things like moving soda cans, curtains, and forks. Whatever held that bathroom doorknob shut was a lot stranger than any child. Our host didn't seem evil at all. If anything, it seemed helpful and sometimes curious. I never felt threatened. The only creepy feelings happened when I thought too much about how something invisible was in the room at the same time as me. I also wondered if the 4-year delay for the haunting to begin was due to being some purchased object in the house to which a ghost was attached, but I ruled that out. We moved all of our possessions to the current apartment 13 years ago, but the ghostly activity never did follow. Anyway, that's my story. Thanks for taking the time to read it. I hope it wasn't too long or boring. There you go. Ghost in the house. Thoughts?
Well, two things. Number one is I love the whole idea of keeping track of this stuff. Like, for someone like me, I don't have dates or any, like, this happened then and that happened then. I just remember it happening.
Sure.
I love they did that.
Very diligent.
But the other thing is, I had no idea about Furbies. Like, the whole sleeping thing, and they don't have their eyes open. I did not know that. So, that was a little interesting, because I'm like, so what? The Furby's got its eyes open. Whatever.
Those are creepy little fuckers.
They are pretty creepy. But I didn't know that about their eyes. But she was telling this story, I thought of a kid the whole time.
Yeah.
Because it did seem they didn't feel necessarily threatened. And I just thought, like, a kid.
Mischievous just, and curious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that said, I would never, ever, ever, like, even if the ghost is being all cool and stuff and just moving, like, forks, I still wouldn't be going, we're moving, come with us. I think that's crazy.
Yeah,
let's go, man, it's been fun, we out of here.
No,
I would never invite it.
That's probably never a good idea to say, hey, come on along, because you just don't really know for sure what exactly you're giving a open ticket to.
And right, even if you're being specific.
Yeah.
And going, okay, not you or you or you, just the one that does these cute little fun things.
Yeah. I don't think they always are going to honor the agreement as well as we think they would. So I have a Furby horror story I can share. And it doesn't necessarily involve ghosts, but it involves the living. And this was about 97-ish, when they were at their peak. Do you remember, like, when it was like the gift that everybody was trying to get their hands on? And back in at that time, radio stations, it was like, if you got one, it was gold, because you could pretty much create any contest you wanted for it to get publicity and give it away. And the station I worked at the time, we got our hands on one, and I did this stunt essentially with it. And today, I don't think anyone would even touch it for liability purposes. But what we did was, what would you do for a Furby? And it was Christmas time, and it was up to the listeners to tell us what they would do for it. Now, it couldn't be anything illegal or sexual or anything like that. It was just, you know, what basically stupid human trick can you perform?
I would have liked to read the rules for that concert. Specifically, all of the things you cannot do.
It was like, and there was a 16-year-old version of me that was doing this contesting. So it's like, yeah, pretty much almost anything. But, and the guy who won it, what he did was, the town I lived in, big fishing town, you know, there's bait shops up and down Main Street to go fishing, and you can buy live bait. They had the, you know, live wells. You can buy minnows to take out and fish with. So what this guy did, he said, okay, I'm gonna get 100 minnows from the bait store, and I'm gonna do something with them. Okay, come on in. So live on the air, he proceeds to put the cup of the minnows in a large, like a big gulp mug.
No.
Yes.
No.
And I'm like, what the hell are you doing? He's like, I'm going to win the Furby for my daughter. I'm like, all right, man, let's do it. And underneath the glow of the Christmas lights in downtown Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, this guy chugs down 100 minnows in literally about 5-10 seconds. He just...
Did he barf?
No, he kept them down. And
did you give him the Furby?
Yeah, I gave it to the woman who was a little bit cuter. I'm kidding. No. Yes, I gave him the Furby. He got the Furby.
Well, yeah, because if you didn't give the guy who chug 100 minnows a Furby, who knows what he'd do?
Oh, God.
To you.
Yeah, exactly. Bah, bah, bah. Exactly. I'd be the ghost story. So, yeah, he won the Furby, and I will never forget that scene of with a big gulp of...
No, he's that guy to this day. Like, he drinks some beers with his buddies, and he's like, yeah, I ate 100 minnows once for a Furby. And they're like, dude, we've heard this story.
Exactly.
Million times, shut up. That's gross.
And my daughter doesn't even fucking talk to me anymore, bitch. Yeah.
Because all the other weird stuff you've done.
Exactly. Exactly. So it was...
That's so disturbing.
Good times. Good times in radio stunts. Yeah, I mean, that shit, we can't even, you know, because there are a couple, I mean, well, I don't know, several years later, there was a DJ who, what it was like for a Wii, and it was, I think they drank like a ton of water or something and had to hold it,
yeah,
and then she died.
Some about no Wii for a Wii.
Yeah.
And he died.
And then suddenly, like, every radio station's like, no more of these contests that we've been encouraging you all to do forever. And, you know, damn well the radio station in that guy's case, I'm sure, was like, yeah, do it. That's a great idea. It'd be great publicity. And then the second shit hits the fan, who's in trouble? You know, it's the DJ who was told, do this, do this, do this. So I love radio. The hypocrisy. But good times.
Minnows.
Yep. Minnows. That's for so a Furby. Gross. Yeah. I don't even mean, wouldn't that, do they all, they die in your stomach acid, or how long does that shit live?
I mean, eventually they would, but it seems like you'd feel them moving around like some kind of weird stomach bug.
I can't imagine. That just grosses me out. 855-853-4802 is our number. Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next letter says, hey, I have a story that's both strange and true. I've worked in radio since the tender age of 16. I now work in talk radio, hosting a radio show late at night. This event happened in 1998. I was 24 years old. I was working in a small country music station in Texas. At that time, I worked the graveyard shift. It was early Sunday morning. I was finishing up my shift when a man named Cowboy Roy came to the station. Cowboy Roy was in his early 80s, around 6'3" on the slim side. Roy was a real cowboy, both as a cattle driver and spent some time as a bronco buster in radio for a time. Roy hosted On the Trail with Cowboy Roy as a music show featuring classic country from Hank Williams and others. I finished up my set, set up a 30-minute music block, stepped into our break room. Roy was drinking a cup of coffee and a styrofoam cup, and I said, hey, Roy, how are things going? He said, great. My Texas Rangers beat the Cubs last night. Insert Carol being angry here. I said, great to hear. I informed him I was done and had a set of music block all set up. He said, thanks. Well, time to hit the trail, partner. Cushioning his cup, he threw it away. He proceeded to enter the studio. I gathered my things and headed downstairs to the exit. On my way, I ran into our station manager, Dennis. Dennis was never here on the weekends, and I asked, what are you doing here? Dennis looked at me and asked, did you hear the news? And I asked, what news? Roy. He passed away last night. I exclaimed, no possible way. Roy is upstairs in the studio right now. No, I'm here to cover his shift until we get a replacement in his time slot. Dennis stopped messing with me. He said, follow me. I'll prove Roy is alive and well. We both went upstairs to find the empty studio. He's playing the Alan Jackson song, Midnight in Montgomery. That song was never loaded into my rotation. I then checked the break room. There laid his crushed white styrofoam cup in the garbage. Dennis looked and said, take an extra day off. I think things may be getting to you. I left, but never forgot my conversation with a dead man. Midnight in Montgomery.
I love that story.
Yeah, it's a good
one. I love it because it's what I like. I like country music. I like all kinds of music, yeah. But obviously country. But the whole, like, the idea that the guy would still want to come in and do a shift. I mean, anybody who has a job they really love, especially like a radio job, because you connect with so many people and there's music and all that stuff. Like, I love that story.
Yeah. And isn't it totally relatable? I mean, can't you just picture this having happened, you know, down the hall, you know, at the station you're at, where we were at together? You know, it's just, yeah, I can totally see that.
That is so crazy. And, like, especially that he was supposed to be coming in anyway, so it wasn't weird to have a conversation with him.
No. No. I mean, have you ever... I should explain this. The station in Wichita that you're at, that I used to be at, big country music station, you know, been around forever. It's one of those few, you know, legendary stations that still exist, and have had such a long life and a huge history of just
like
people.
Over 50 years.
Yeah. People have come and gone through this thing. And there's the FM and is the AM back to being classic country again?
Yes.
Which was originally the main station before FM came around. And so it's had its fair share of people who have had their careers there, you know, 20, 30 year careers on the air at this station. And now, being as old as it is, you know, several have passed. Have you ever suspected that any of them have come back?
You know, I mean, I haven't had like an experience that's definitely what that was.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been some weird things that happened at the station. But I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell
who's who.
But I get that because, you know, people are so connected to it.
Yeah.
That, you know, such a huge, you know, anybody who works any job, that you put so much into it and you love your job.
Yeah.
Not like you worked at a factory and hated it forever. Like a job that you really loved. I could see why people, you know, once you die, you don't want to leave it. Like, because it was such a huge part of your life, that I get why he would show up at the station after he passed. I get that.
Yeah, it's like part of your identity. You know, when you're part of it, it's part of who you are. And you almost have to have that, you know, when you're in radio, because it becomes so consuming. So you really got to love what you're doing. And it's such an interesting thing when you have that. I know we've talked on the air about several things there with, you know, volume knobs turning up and down on their own and lights.
All the time. Happened the other day.
Yeah, all that stuff. And it's just, yeah, I wish I had something happen to me there, but I never really had anything. But everyone else I know has a story except for me. But I tried. I would purposely go walk in that basement at night sometimes. Just... come on, do something. Nothing at all. But there you go. 855-853-4802 is our number. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories with us. Let's go to another letter. It says, these are not my stories. Rather, they are my grandmother's. My grandmother has always said she doesn't believe in ghosts, but she has had some very odd, if not scary, occurrences that she couldn't ignore. We've discussed on many occasions, one of which I experienced as well. My grandmother told me of an experience she had and her mother had in the early 1950s. It was the middle of a cold winter. During such times, my great-grandmother would close off the attic. This allowed them to heat more of the main portion of the house easily. One night, as everyone was getting ready for bed, the attic door just swung open. This startled everyone, as the door was locked and should not have just opened. My great-grandmother went to shut the door, and as she looked up, she saw her brother standing at the top of the steps. Startled, she asked him how he got up there, and he smiled, waved, and then just disappeared. My great-grandmother was stunned and confused, and she called after him. Just as she started up the stairs, the phone rang. She picked up the phone, leaving the attic door down. The caller was a local sheriff, informing my great-grandmother that her only brother had been killed in a car wreck an hour prior. This was the first of three important experiences for my grandmother. Many years later, my grandparents were house hunting. They went to look at an old antebellum-style home. They loved the house. It was everything they were looking for. The last room was a small red bedroom on the second floor just at the end of the landing. When they went into the room, my grandmother was overwhelmed by an extreme sudden disperse. My grandmother began to shake and then sob uncontrollably. My grandfather ushered her from the room and out of the house, and the realtor was very close behind. Once outside, she was fine, and she told my grandfather and the realtor what had just happened. The realtor went white. She explained that a young woman had committed suicide in the room 6 months prior. My grandparents did not buy that house. The third experience occurred when I was 14. My grandmother had been given an angel figurine that played Amazing Grace. The figurine was out of a famous painting depicting an angel protecting two small children who were crossing a river. The figurine had never been open. It didn't take batteries to play Amazing Grace. You had to wind a small brass button on the bottom of the figurine. None of us ever played it. My grandmother set it on a shelf. That's where it sat. Never touched. One day, while we watched TV in the living room, we all began to hear Amazing Grace playing softly from the curio cabinet in the dining room. When we looked, it was that figurine. It stopped. We thought nothing of it. It went back to watching TV. Roughly 10 to 15 minutes after, my grandmother's aunt called and said her oldest daughter had a heart attack and passed. The figurine was completely forgotten amid our grief. About 2 years later, my grandmother and I were putting a puzzle together on the dining room table when once again Amazing Grace began to play from the cabinet across the room very softly. We stopped and looked, bewildered by this. No one had touched it in years, let alone really the thought about it. The phone rang when my grandmother answered. Her aunt told her that her uncle had just passed. Again, the figurine was forgotten amid our grief. My great uncle was a light to the world, a truly wonderful man, and losing him suddenly hurt greatly. 6 months later, my grandmother called me into the dining room as I entered, and I could hear the soft sound of Amazing Grace once again playing from the untouched figurine. And just as before, the phone rang. My grandmother's second cousin called to tell my grandmother that her mother, my grandmother's aunt, had passed. She'd been sick, and we knew it would be very soon. My grandmother, with tear-filled eyes, removed the figurine from the cabinet and threw it away. When I hear Amazing Grace, I always think of this figurine and the great thoughts and the great despair that it caused with such a sacred song. There you go. That's a way to ruin a song forever.
What the hell? Which really isn't the right response to Amazing Grace.
No.
But, like, that's just weird. It sounds like an episode of The Twilight Zone.
It does.
Where they all stop and they look at the figurine with that look on their faces. Like any time I would hear Amazing Grace, I'd be like, great, the phone's going to ring.
Yeah.
Phone's ring. Somebody's dead.
You just run to the wall and just pull the phone cord out. Be like, if they can't call.
The first story, like, she saw the person. Like, there was no Amazing Grace there. But it's like everybody who dies, she gets this weird, maybe not everybody, but that's a lot.
They somehow.
Some weird kind of thing happened to you. I don't want that power.
Everybody.
I mean, maybe it would be kind of cool, but that would just be creeping me out. Like, if I had something that would play Amazing Grace that would just randomly go off, I'm like, then you would just sit there. Great, the phone's going to ring. The phone's going to ring. Then it does.
It's like everybody wants this person to know that they're dead. You know, it's like, why? You know, I mean, I suppose, just, you know, you have a lot of people you want to inform of things of that nature, but it's like this person's clearly on the top of many people's lists.
And it wasn't like she was necessarily intuitive and was going, oh my God, I've got that feeling that you get. Like,
yeah.
That's happened to me. Like, something's really wrong. I have to get to my grandmother. And it wasn't that. It's just like, Amazing Grace. Like,
yeah.
That's just weird.
It's creepy. Anything music box is just, I don't care what the hell it is.
I don't even want a music box. Especially after some of the stories since I've been doing this that we've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And like now this one. If somebody gave me a music box with Amazing Grace, I would pass it along to somebody else.
I want a music box that plays like really inappropriate songs. It's like, oh, music box. Wait a second. Is that? Oh my God! Like,
it's Amazing Grace. I can't keep this.
It's
some kind of Kiss song.
It's like,
I'll keep it.
Yeah, it's like In a Gata De Vida or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's Nirvana, Rape Me or something horrible. You're like, what is that on a music box? What the hell?
I'll keep that one, but not the one that says plays Amazing Grace. Yeah,
like, what?
That one's too much for me.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah, my God.
Poor grandma, like, you give her anything Amazing Grace associated, she'd be like, absolutely not in my house.
Start bringing her like everything home from like Gordman's and At Home, like all those wooden signs that have sayings, and it's all like lyrics to Amazing Grace.
And they fall off the wall, and then her phone rings.
It does sound like an episode of The Twilight. Have you seen the new Twilight Zone?
No, I have not.
Oh, this is not an advertisement. I love it.
Really?
Yeah, CBS All Access is where it's at if you're looking for it. It's not on the network. It's on their it's their paid app. I think, I don't know, it's like $5 a month or something. I don't know what it is exactly, but you get access to that and I think a lot of their catalog. But it's good. And again, this is not an ad for CBS, but if you want a good, creepy, weird, well-done show, it's worth it. We've been watching every episode, and it's very well done.
Oh, I gotta check it out then.
I know there was like a version of it that came out in 2001, 2002, and it didn't have it. It wasn't very good. This is good. This feels like the old ones.
Well, and that's that same guy. What's his name? He just directed that movie that I can't remember what the name of it is.
Yeah. The
Peele,
family.
That Peele and, you know, the two comedy guys, Peele and somebody.
Yeah. I'll look it up. Or I'll hold it and not say it so it just bothers you.
No, because I have a phone handy myself.
No, you don't. Only I have technology, Carol. Twilight Zone. Dun, dun, dun. Jordan Peele.
Yeah.
The movie that you're talking about is the one where it was a family that was like the clone of the family that was there. Yeah. I forgot what that movie is called.
Like Evil Doppelganger Family.
Yeah, that looked interesting too. But it's really good. Very worth checking out. I also saw there's a, I think it's called Black Summer. Is that what it is? It's a zombie movie or it's a zombie series on Netflix that we started watching the other night too. And it's done like almost in real time. It's like an 8-episode series. That's a good one too. It's got the zombies that have like the caffeine high that 28 Days Later style where they just go crazy and run. It's not the lurking, slow Walking Dead type zombies, but it's set in a world like the Walking Dead where everything is just kind of gone to shit. And it's a good, it's well done too. I like that one. Very interesting cinematic settings. So, if you're looking for something to watch, zombie, creepy related, those are my two recommendations. You always have good recommendations. Anything you want to throw out there?
I did watch Amityville Horror, The Possession 2. Yesterday.
Is this a joke?
Which happened to be Easter Sunday. And it was really, really bad. But it was kind of like so bad, I couldn't quit watching it.
Amityville Horror.
Because it wasn't even one of the good Amityville Horror movies.
When the hell did that one come out? I don't even know.
Like, I had to look it up because I'm like, what am I watching? It was like 1982. 80 something, yeah.
Amityville to The Possession.
That was the one I watched.
Oh, there you go.
And right after that was Amityville Horror 3D. But I didn't bother, because why?
What was it, like an Amityville Easter marathon or
something? Yeah, yes, it was.
Nothing says Easter like an Amityville marathon.
Which I kind of got a kick out of.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. There's a new one, Amityville The Awakening. I have never seen that one. I know that's like a fairly new one. I think it was delayed multiple times. I don't know if it was because it was horrible. 2.5 stars on everything I'm seeing. So I don't know.
Just go back to the really old ones. They're better.
Yeah, I mean, the original.
In a really bad kind of way.
The original was good. The one that they redid in 2005, I thought was well done, too. It didn't. I mean, they certainly took many liberties with the storyline and the more modern one. But it was, well, Ryan Reynolds and Melissa George were in that one. But as far as a horror movie.
And my niece was staying with me that summer and we watched it.
It was good.
And she was like, yeah, let's go to a scary movie, Aunt Carol. And so we went. And she couldn't sleep by herself for another week. Like,
yeah.
She has not watched it. That's 20 years ago. She still hasn't watched a scary movie since.
It was a good horror movie. It was not remotely like the book, but if you want a good scary movie with creepy eye windows, it was worth watching. So anyway, there's your movie recommendations from Carol and Tony and our Movie Minute on Real Ghost Stories Online, everybody. Weather next. All right. This is where you need like a fun jingle or something. That's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up. Ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all the stuff, all the bonus episodes, all the advanced episodes, ebook, everything right there for you. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Live shows. Check out the dates. August 11th, that one coming up. Get on that at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs. Ticket info at realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.